Hello, everybody. I'm Lauren Peretz, and I'll be your professor for advanced legal research. I'll go a bit more into my background during the first class. For now, though, I just want to let you know that I practice law for over 20 years. I have a really good feel for how to conduct legal research in the real world, and I plan to make that the focus of this class. If I don't think you're likely to face a particular issue or use a particular research technique in practice, then I'm not going to waste our time on talking about it in this class. After all, you get plenty of theory in your other classes. So here, we're just going to stick to the nuts and bolts of how to work through research problems that you're likely to face in the real world. So here's how I plan to structure the class. Every week, you'll be watching a video just like this one, where I'll introduce you to the topic that we'll be talking about that week: statutes, case law, corporate transactions, litigation resources, etc. Then I'll demonstrate the resources that you can use when you have a question in that area. And then after we get to class, I'll give you some legal research exercises so you'll get a chance to use the resources yourself. These kind of exercises really are the best way to learn legal research techniques. They're much more effective than me just lecturing at you. So we're going to be doing a lot of them as we work our way through the semester. That being said, it is absolutely vital that you watch the video each week before you come into class. It's often going to be the first thing we do in class is diving into researching a legal problem, doing an exercise, and we'll be relying on the information and the resources that I'm going to present in the video lecture. If you haven't watched the video, then you're not going to know how to approach the problem for that week. I promise that the videos are always going to be short. The longest one is no longer than a half hour, and they'll often even be shorter than that. So just make sure you watch. Also, please make sure that you submit your questions to the quiz each week. These weekly submissions are going to count towards your 20 professionalism and participation points for the semester. More on that when we're in the first class and we go through the syllabus. All right, so here's our first legal research problem. You're working at some big law firm in Manhattan, and late Thursday afternoon you get a call from your senior partner telling you that he's about to go on a wine tasting and buying holiday in Napa. He's a connoisseur, and by the end of his trip, he wants to have filled up his expensive, climate-controlled wine cellar. He makes the decision that he actually wants to buy wine in Napa and ship it home to his brownstone in Brooklyn. He thinks he's going to get some great deals in Napa. It suddenly occurs to him at the last minute, and it always does seem to occur to the partners at the last minute, that he wants to ship them home, but he's not sure it's legal. That is, are private individuals even allowed to ship wine across state lines? He's concerned because he vaguely remembers something about some case or some statute that said he either could or he could not ship the wine. He can't remember the details, so he tells you that you should take a look at the issue and give him some legal guidance before he leaves for his trip. Specifically, can he ship cases of wine home to himself or not? If he can, are there limitations on what he can ship? He also wants to know what law governs this issue. Is it California, New York, federal law? And then where do you find the answer to this kind of legal issue? Is it case law, statutes, regulations, something else? Maybe a combination of all three. So this is a good example of the kind of problem we'll be doing as we work our way through the semester. You need to read the information presented and identify the legal issues. Research the issues the best you can, given the resources that we're covering for that week, and try to reach some kind of preliminary legal conclusion. Then we're always going to spend some time talking about how everybody did. We'll discuss what problems you had, what roadblocks you ran into when you were doing the research. You're going to have to be ready to do a lot of participation in this class. It's a small class, so we spend a lot of time talking about how everybody approached the research, what worked, what didn't. You can talk to each other while you're doing the research. I'll be walking around the class while we're researching, so it's a very active class. All right, so now let's spend a minute talking about how do you go through the process of a legal research problem like the one you see here. What are the first steps? How do you develop a legal research plan? How do you effectively and efficiently conduct legal research? And how do you formulate advice? Here, are you going to send the partner off on his wine buying spree with a happy face or not? So for the other classes, we'll dive right into the research. But since this is the first class, we're going to spend a little time talking about the process. How do you break the problem down? How do you analyze it? And how do you formulate the answer so you can present it to a senior lawyer or to a client? So, as I said, just before we get started with how I might research this wine shipping problem, let's spend a minute talking about the legal research process in general. When you first start out in practice, you're likely to get your research assignments from a more senior lawyer that you're working with, either a senior associate or a partner. Later on, as you become more senior, you'll get your research assignments directly from clients. So in either case, your first job is to make sure that you really understand the facts and the issues that you need to research before you leave that senior attorney's office or before you hang up with the client on their frantic phone call. This is just a practice tip. It's harder than it sounds to actually do this, but it's vital. Lawyers are busy and they tend to be rushed at the best of times. They genuinely forget that you don't know everything that they do. And I just don't mean the law. They may already know everything about their client's business, for example, and they forget that you don't know everything about the client's business. So they start talking in shorthand, something that's not going to make sense to somebody who hasn't been representing that client for a while. So what do? You have to be strong. You have to insist that the senior lawyer spend a few minutes to fill you in on the problem and the issues that they want you to focus on. Believe me, they will like you the better for it in the end because you'll give them better research results. Also, when you get back to your office, you also need to avoid the temptation to just start researching. Just like get back to your office and turn on Westlaw and start researching. Instead, you should first make sure that you've read and you understand all the documents that you've been given. So for example, if you're researching an issue involving a corporate agreement, read the agreement. If you're a litigator, read the complaint or the other documents in the file. If the client has written a letter requesting legal help, read that. Call them if something doesn't make sense. Obviously, you're not calling them to ask for help with the legal issues. You're calling to ask for help in interpreting the facts. Something doesn't make sense. There's a term you don't understand. There's a business that doesn't seem like it fits in. Call and ask. Call the client. Call the senior attorney. Everybody's going to be happy in the end. It sounds like a no-brainer, but it's sometimes tempting to dive right into research before you fully understand the issue. And avoid that temptation. It's going to cost you in the end. So the next step after you do your interview and you feel like you've got a good handle on what the facts are, is this is where you're kind of actually going to begin doing your research. And it's to look at a secondary source to help yourself understand the law in the area that you're researching. This step is probably the single best piece of advice that I'm going to give you for the whole semester. Reading case law, statutes, regulations, primary law, conducting legal research, in other words, is really hard, tedious, and confusing work. It just is. That's probably why you're all taking this class. That is, after all, why they pay lawyers the big bucks. If it was easy, nobody would be willing to pay lawyers hundreds of dollars an hour to do this stuff. Anyway, so the trick to doing really good legal research is use a good secondary resource first to teach themselves about the area of the law they're researching. Primary resources are the law itself, cases, statutes, regulations, etc. Secondary resources are anything that explains the primary law, things like legal encyclopedias, law review articles, blog posts, etc. And don't worry, we'll be spending the next two classes exclusively discussing all of these secondary resources and why you would use one instead of another, what one does that the other one doesn't. But for now, it's just enough that you get a handle on how secondary resources fit into the research process. Use them first and then move on to the primary law. After you've used a secondary resource to learn the area of the law that you're researching, then go ahead and read the primary law. You will be amazed how much easier it is to understand and apply primary law after you've consulted a good secondary source. Secondary sources will also, of course, point you to the relevant primary law. So if I'm researching a securities law insider trading issue, a good secondary resource is going to explain to me all the specifics of that area of securities law, and it's also going to give me citation for all of the relevant cases, statutes, and regulations, so I can easily go and pull up the primary law in Westlaw, Lexis, Bloomberg, or some other database and print if I want. So the last step in the legal research process, as you see here on the slide, and this is critical, update everything you cite to or rely on before giving your legal opinion, every single time. Even if you're just giving an off-the-cuff oral response to a legal research question, and this happens a lot, you'll get a call from a senior lawyer or a client and they don't want a memo or a long answer and even an email, they just want a quick answer over the phone. For assignments like this though, and if you don't want to commit malpractice, and I know you don't, you still need to make sure that the law that you're relying on is still good law. It doesn't matter for these purposes whether you did an hour of research and you're giving 5 minutes of advice over the phone, or if you're writing a brief or a detailed memo. You still need to know that the law you cite and rely on is good law. After all, it isn't uncommon for cases to be overruled or for statutes to be appealed or amended. Fortunately, we have great tools on Lexis and Westlaw like Shepherds and Keysight that allow us to do this kind of updating fairly painlessly. So you can take statutes, case law, and regulations to Westlaw or Lexis, whichever one you have at your firm, and confirm that you're only citing good law. We'll spend a fair amount of time discussing these tools in future classes as well, so don't worry about the specifics for now. Again, we're just seeing where updating fits into the overall process of legal research. So in a nutshell, that's the legal research process. This really is the best process to follow each time you have a legal research problem. I can honestly promise you that you'll have an easier time and better results if you follow this process when you conduct your legal research. It doesn't really even matter what the question is or what area of law you're researching. Just follow these basic steps and you'll be on your way. All right, so just to get started, let's talk about primary law. Here is a very brief overview of the U.S. legal system. Fortunately, you already know most of this already. Of course, it goes without saying that you must have a basic understanding of the U.S. legal system before you can attempt to find a specific law to answer a specific legal question that you've been asked to research. So, again, as you all already know, the federal government is divided into three branches, and as it happens, each branch creates law that we must be concerned with as legal researchers. The legislative branch or Congress creates statutes. The judicial branch, including the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court, issues opinions, and this body of opinions is called case law. The executive branch and the various executive branch agencies and departments create regulations and other administrative determinations and adjudications, and this body of law is called administrative law. As lawyers, whenever we try to help a client solve a legal issue, we have to be thoroughly familiar with each of these three sources of law. Of course, we'll cover all of these areas of primary law in much more detail as the semester goes along, but it's important to note that sometimes these different kinds of law will overlap. Sometimes they even contradict each other, and this is in practice, and it's our job to work our way through this thicket in order to advise our clients on how to proceed. So to make matters even more complicated than that, in the United States, there's two parallel systems of law, federal law and state law. State lawmaking is also usually comprised of statutes, case law, and administrative law. And again, these sources of law can overlap and contradict each other. And they also sometimes overlap and contradict federal law. Is that clear? No. Is it easy? No. But again, this is why they pay lawyers the big bucks. All right, so let's talk about the actual steps that you would follow when you're conducting legal research. And this kind of goes back to the slide we had about the process. As I mentioned, before you get started researching, you need to define the scope of your project. Are you writing an appellate brief, or are you writing a memo to a partner, or are you returning a phone call? Sometimes a quick phone call is all that's needed. You need to know that before you start researching and billing time. In fact, it's a good idea to come right out and ask. This never bothered me at all when I was a senior lawyer. In fact, I appreciated it because sometimes the senior lawyer might forget. So you should ask, how much time should I devote to this project? Law firms hate writing off time, so it's better to know ahead of time how much time you should be allotting to a particular research project or any kind of project, even if you're drafting an agreement. Get an idea ahead of time of what they think is reasonable. You can always go back and tell them later that it's not working out and you need more time. Their answer may only be a ballpark, no more than 3 hours, but at least you'll know that you're not going to spend a whole day on that case or that agreement. So here's another practice tip. Ask lots of questions when you first get the research assignment. You'll save yourself time, you'll save your client money, and you'll turn out a better legal research product if you insist on getting all the facts you need to narrow the issues and conduct your legal research right from the start. So once you have your arms around what kind of response you're going to be responsible for, a brief, a corporate agreement, a phone call, you have to get the facts that you need to start your research. And we've talked about this a little bit in an overview, but now we're kind of narrowing down on some of the issues. So the next thing you need to do is take the time to develop a research plan before you ever open a book or look in an electronic research database like Lexis or Westlaw. You need to figure out what legal issue you're researching, because no one's going to tell you that. Unlike law school, clients don't come in and tell you what the legal question is that they want answered. They just present you with facts, and it's up to you to figure out what the issue is and then to go ahead and research it. So this is how you get started. You do issue spotting. You look at the facts and you figure out who, what, when, where, why, and how. You can ask yourself some of the questions on this slide. This is going to help you to start figuring out what is the issue, what is the problem, and then once you have a handle on that, you move on to the next step. And that next step is you develop a list of key terms, search terms. You develop these terms to use in your search for the answer to your client's legal problem. And it doesn't matter whether you're searching on the internet or you're searching on a paid legal research platform like Lexis, Westlaw, Bloomberg Law, etc. You want to have a list of search terms to input into whatever platform you're using to conduct your research. Coming up with a few good key terms ahead of time helps you to craft a search that's going to give you fewer results, but that are more highly relevant. You really don't want to run something like a typical Google search where you return hundreds of thousands of documents. It is much better to run a high-quality search and return 30 documents that are all highly